Hello, today is Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, we are continuing with our podcast series, Staying Ahead of the Demand for Network Cost Savings. If you've been following this series, you know that we're highlighting useful strategies to help enterprises achieve continuous network cost improvement while also delivering world-class network infrastructure. I'm joined today by Jack Deal, one of TC2's managing directors, and Larry York, a project director at TC2. And we are going to be talking about achieving and maintaining market-leading positions for key commercial terms in your deal. Okay, Jack, I've been involved in negotiations where sometimes the focus almost exclusively is on rates and the economics of price for the service. Now, it seems that sometimes enterprises, they just get so dialed in on getting the lowest unit rate that they either forget about the other critical aspects of the deal, such as key business terms and service levels, or they just concede very early in a rush to get to a close of the deal. So, if a company takes this approach, what, if any, are the risks to that approach?
Thanks, Joe, and there's definitely some risks. The risks of ignoring key business terms in your deal is ending up in a less than optimal deal, and that deal will trail the best market offerings in terms of flexibility as well as buyer protections, particularly protections of what you've fought, hard-earned price reductions that you've negotiated, and trying to keep that pricing in line with market changes, not just the day you signed the deal, but over the contract term. The objective of strong, customer-friendly business terms is to maintain as much leverage on your side as possible and provide you with the ability to negotiate from a position of strength throughout the term of the agreement. So the supplier always views the deal as a total economic package. It's a bundle to them. Pricing, credits, terms, service obligations, etc. So suppliers naturally, they propose financial terms that are best for them, that provide the most favorable and flexible commercial positions from their viewpoint. And if you think about it, it's in their shareholders' best interest to do so. Naturally, that results in attempts by the supplier in your negotiations to couple aggressive gives that they may give you on pricing, good aggressive market-based pricing, with takebacks on the terms that could potentially improve the profitability of the deal for them over the life of the deal. And those takebacks can be a price increase, additional commitment of spend, or service levels that trail down. They have less of an obligation to provide them over the course of the agreement. So for you, the buyer, countering these tendencies during the negotiations is mission critical. Key leading edge business terms that are customer friendly to your business help keep the deal competitive between the sourcing and negotiation cycles that are only periodic.
All right. Thanks, Jack. All right. So I guess clearly enterprises, they really need to focus on what we call the three legs of the stool. That's pricing, commercial terms, and service levels if they want to achieve a market leading deal. And it sounds like leading edge business terms are critical to keeping the economics of the deal aligned with the market. So Larry, let me ask you, are there specific areas where companies should direct their focus to keep the deal ahead of the pricing curve?
There certainly are, and while there's a laundry list of deal terms that certainly we could talk about, we're going to focus here on some critical concepts that we feel are most important. And first is the overall deal flexibility, based on the commitment obligations that an enterprise signs up for. Certainly, there's many specific terms added to a deal that are valuable, but nothing is more important than a flexible and well-structured commitment. Next, I would say, is a good rate review of benchmarking clause. The ability to periodically review the competitiveness of one's pricing, the terms, service levels, relative to the marketplace first, and then also to make sure that your agreement is keeping pace with your business needs that are constantly evolving throughout the term of an agreement. Both the external market and the internal business needs change throughout the term of your agreement, and the competitive review process should address both of these elements. This returns value each time it is exercised, is our experience in working with large enterprises in this area. So ideally, you want both parties to be incented to come to the table and reach a mutually agreeable amendment. My experience in this area is that this is most easily achieved with a process that is not overly complicated. So you have to keep in mind competitive reviews should not be intended to achieve market-leading changes to the agreement, but rather we look at this as using it as an instrument to not leave the enterprise behind, right? And you want to make sure that you're not being left behind in a declining market, and you also want to make sure that you're not being left behind in the sense that your agreement is not keeping pace with your business needs.
All right, so Jack, how does an enterprise achieve a market competitive review that incents both parties to reach this mutually agreeable position?
First of all, you can't be greedy. I think enterprises tend to overreach in this area. You want to be reasonable in terms of your request, what you're seeking. And number two, the suppliers should stand to lose business or lose some committed revenue should they not cooperate in the process. There has to be skin in the game for them that if they don't cooperate, there's a penalty. Of course, to execute on this strategy, you're going to need information. The enterprise is going to need to acquire competitive market-based pricing data as to what's happening in the marketplace on the cost of services and best practice terms to use as a benchmark. And the benchmark addresses the changing market. Additionally, enterprises need to assess their internal business changes that might need to be accommodated and needs that are no longer reflected in the contract. So it's a fluid type of environment, both for the contract and the pricing. These critical market and business assessments are often provided by third-party advisory firms like TC2, firms that specialize in negotiating network services and related IT deals. A key tenet of our consulting practice is executing competitive market price assessments for our clients.
And further to Jack's points, which are critically important, I would say is the, you know, a second area that directly impacts pricing is the structure of the pricing itself. So it's critical that pricing for the key enterprise services with significant usage be included in the deal at fixed stabilized rates. This is very important, essential to structuring the right pricing arrangement. Enterprises, in doing so, should target about 80% plus or minus of their spend to be written into the contract at fixed and stabilized pricing. What this means, Joe, is for wireline, this means ports, access circuits, concurrent call paths, and usage rates, right? For wireless, it would be all of your key rate plans for voice, data, messaging, etc. Let's first discuss fixed pricing element. Many suppliers prefer to include a fixed discount in the agreement, but prefer the list pricing to which the discount applies float. So this raises the potential for price increases, which is a time-tested way to improve deal profitability incrementally. Second, let's talk about rate stabilization. Protection against list rates creep requires rate stability, right? And so you don't buy the argument that your company will miss out on list price decreases with fixed rates. You simply renegotiate to achieve them. Much better to have protection for the downside impacts.
All right, those are really good points. Thank you, Larry. You know, we also know that suppliers, they expect companies to commit to minimum spend levels in their deals. That's just part of telecom deals. So is there opportunity, Jack, to leverage this requirement to keep a company's pricing in alignment with the market?
Absolutely, Joe. Suppliers want to commit the customer annually or even monthly, if they can, to the highest possible percentage of their spend. It's a good business practice from their perspective to lock in the revenue stream to the best of their ability. For the enterprise customer, the best practice is exactly the opposite. You'd want a single minimum revenue commitment over the full length of the contract, and it would be reasonable in terms of its percentage of spend. And hint, reasonable is not 80%+. It would be something less than that would be considered reasonable. And the flexible, reasonable commitment structure, it affords you the ability to move business away from incumbents to new challenger-type suppliers to achieve lower pricing if your incumbent won't supply the lower pricing. And that puts competitive tension into the environment, and that threat helps keep your incumbent supplier honest. They need to earn your business each day by delivering a good competitive combination of pricing, terms, and service levels. It benefits, the reasonable commitment really benefits both parties in the transaction.
Thank you, Jack. One additional point that I would add to Jack's comments is the concept of individual circuit terms and the early terminations that are related to those. Certainly shorter is better. It permits you to compete each new opportunity to achieve best-in-class pricing. And I think it's important to note in an evolving marketplace that circuit terms typically follow new service offerings, like we're seeing today with Ethernet services and broadband deals that are being done to prepare for or support SD-WAN solutions. And you compare that to the more mature service offerings like MPLS and TDM access, where circuit terms have been essentially negotiated away. They have become more common, acceptable commercial practices. And what we're experiencing and seeing are that the suppliers are taking advantage of these new service offerings, like I mentioned, whether it be to support SD-WAN in the Ethernet place, and reintroduce very stringent individual circuit term obligations. So it's something to be aware of and something that we're seeing in the market today more commonly.
Finally, Joe, a word about deal credits. A lot of deals have credits in them these days in lieu of price reductions. Most recurring credits come with an obligation to the provider. You may have to repay the entire credit if you terminate early, even in the last month, which is pretty one-sided. Other credits are tiered and tied perhaps to achievement of quantities of purchase or spend levels. The effect in that scenario is the same. It's just another form of vendor lock-in. If you don't meet the obligation, your effective price is going to go up because you're going to lose discount or you're going to pay a higher unit price. Best practice in these type of deals is lower unit pricing if you can achieve it versus credit mechanisms that have hidden negative price impacts.
Okay. Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Larry. I think this has really been a great discussion, probably about an area that's often overlooked by many of our clients and most enterprises. All right, for our next podcast in the Staying Connected series, I'll be joined by my TC2 and LB3 colleagues, Keith Cook and Laura McDonald, who will expand a bit on today's topic and talk with me about the importance of managing your contracts and suppliers optimally so that you have this continued price benefit. So please look out for messages from us providing links to the latest podcasts, or you can just go to our websites and get the access that you need. And finally, if you, the listening audience, would like to learn more about best practices for ICT procurements, or if you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with Jack, Larry, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or drop us an email. And you can always stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.